Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining me, Dr. Shawanda Faye Watson, for another episode of Unpacking Family Secrets God's Way. I am so excited to be with you on today. I am very excited because this is the day the Lord has made, and I will and we will rejoice and be glad in it. So regardless of what we have faced so far on today, know that the Lord made this day, and you should never allow anyone or anything to take your joy, because they did not give it to you. The Lord is the one who gives joy, okay? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so when we allow people or things to strip away the joy, okay, because joy is different from happiness, when we allow people or things to strip away our joy, they're stripping away our strength, okay? So you have to be careful about who you allow to be in your life and who you allow to speak into your life and over your life, okay? As well as your children, if you're married, your spouse, if you're engaged, your fiance, okay? So yes, we are excited about today. So we're going to go ahead and honor the Most High God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you would go with me in prayer before the Lord, the Almighty God. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise your holy name. We're coming boldly before your throne of grace through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, acknowledging you for who you are, the amazing, the almighty, the one who is mighty in battle, the one who is King of kings and Lord of lords. You are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And we thank you, Father, right now for being the Father who is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. And Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me, everyone who is listening, our families, our ancestors, forefathers, and foremothers for all known and unknown sins, iniquities, and perversions. And we ask those blessings as well of forgiveness to our future generations. And we thank you right now, Father, for your forgiveness, your grace, and your mercy. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we renounce right now every evil and wicked word we have ever spoken over our own lives and destinies. And we renounce right now every evil and wicked word others have spoken over our lives and destinies, all the way back to Adam and Eve, up to now and in the future, in the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I dispatch multi-purpose angels to go forth and obey every word of the Most High God concerning us and everything that's predestined by the Most High God to be associated with us. In the mighty name of Jesus, I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth over everyone who is listening, myself, the podcast, our families, our bloodlines, our environments right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Fire of God, burn out everything that's in us and around us that's not of you, in the mighty name of Jesus. And also, Father, we ask you to move anyone and anything that's in our lives that should not be, we ask you to move them away from us, get them out of our lives, and give us a heart to release them in the mighty name of Jesus. And also bring forth our destiny helpers in the mighty name of Jesus, that we will have a heart to receive them and words to that proceed out of our mouths to receive them and welcome them in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way right now. I decrease because you must. It is mandatory, Lord, that you increase in the mighty name of Jesus. All of you, none of me. In Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in mighty name, we pray. I bind up backlash, sabotage, retaliation, setbacks, revenge, delays on behalf of everyone who is listening, our families, myself, my family, the podcast, and everything that the Lord has in store for us right now. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, if you do not have anything to write with or to write on, I will pause so that you can get that. All right, then. Well, I pray that everyone has had an awesome, awesome week and that you're looking forward to the day as well as every day that's coming forth. Okay. I am excited about what the Lord is doing. Of course, we're talking about domestic violence. We're talking about any other violence that's associated with domestic violence victims. If they have teenagers or preteens, you know, who may be going through teen dating violence and they are not aware of it, we are also here for them. And as well as men who are being abused, okay? So abuse does not have a particular race or gender, you know, a particular occupation. It can happen to anyone if they are not on point and on target on putting restrictions on their lives that, you know, they have things that they will not put up with, you know, you know, because for me personally, you know, because of what I've gone through in my life and the Lord has given me wisdom and understanding on how to live my life going forward, you know, because he is the head of my life. And you hear people say, you know, when they stand up, for example, at church, and sometimes they will say, well, give an honor to the Lord who is the head of my life. You know, sometimes they're speaking that thing, but they don't believe that thing. The Lord is not in charge, okay? They're still doing what they want to do, how they want to do, and with whomever they want to. But what they're saying is not matching up with their life, okay? And so for me, it is very important that the Lord is in charge and that he takes control and he keeps control. Do you understand? Because I need to be where he wants me to be. It's not the reverse of him being where I want him to be. No, he has me where he wants me to be when he wants me to be there doing what I'm supposed to be doing for him. And so, you know, get into a posture of humbleness where you decrease unto the Lord and your finger is always on his yes button, right? So that you will live the life that he has predestined for you. And so we're talking about domestic violence. And because I live in the state of Tennessee, Tennessee has a code, right? And they have defined abuse. And I'm going to read that definition for you, okay? So according to the Tennessee Code annotated, the definition of abuse, it means inflicting or attempting to inflict physical injury on an adult or minor by other than accidental means, placing an adult or minor in fear of physical harm, physical restraint, malicious damage, to the physical property of the abused party. So every state has their own definition because it is against the law to inflict physical harm on anyone. It does not matter the age, okay? It is against the law. And so if you found yourself or if you're in a relationship, right, where the person that is supposed to love you is actually beating you, or if they're not beating you, they are just using, you know, cursing you out or cussing you out every day. Nothing you do is right. You can't do anything to please them. And even when they are silent and you may mistakenly think that everything is okay, it is not. All right. Because you have a honeymoon phase, okay? And so on today, we're going to talk about the honeymoon phase, right? The different phases are the cycle of violence when we're talking about domestic violence. And of course, our focus is in the church because you have victims sitting in the congregation, right? Okay? And so you have to be careful about your relationships. You know, sometimes people feel lonely and they will, you know, they just decrease their standards. Okay. They lower their standards to basically put up with anyone who is, you know, saying a kind word on Monday, right? Because on Friday, that kind word changes to abusive words, all right? So you have to keep yourself in check. And if you're dealing with like rejection or low self-worth, you know what I mean? You loathe yourself, you know, you don't like the way your body looks. You don't like the way your nose looks. You don't like the texture of your hair. You don't like, it's a continuous list of, I don't like, you don't like. You see, that's an issue. That's a very important issue. And you need to fix that because you do not need to be in any relationship outside of the relationship with the Lord until you get those things in check, until you have bound up the spirit of rejection, that strong man, you see, that was placed there probably when you were a little child, okay? And it has grown up with you. Now it's a stronghold. And every decision that you made growing up basically was based on that spirit of rejection, because outside of that spirit, you would have made logical decisions, okay? You would have told anyone who did not respect you, did not like you, or whatever, you would have put them in their place because your self-worth, your self-esteem was high, and you thought of yourself on a high level, and you just refused to put up with stuff, you know, just a bunch of mess that did not make sense, that did not add to your life, right? That's if your self-esteem was so high and where it should have been, right? But because of something that happened in the childhood, in many, many cases, almost 100% of the time, it stems from what happened in your childhood, you know? And those things were not dealt with through deliverance, you know, where you're renouncing stuff, okay? You're rejecting stuff. But you thought that because you were making it through life, you know, graduated from high school, went to college, graduated from college, got a great, you know, occupation, career, businessman, businesswoman. You got your beautiful home. You've got all these cars. You wear the nicest things. You're thinking that those things and those accomplishments took care of the spirit of rejection. No, it did not. No, it did not. Mm-mm. Because you can tell by the people who are drawn to you. Okay. Check those people out. Okay. Do a survey or some type of project. Do your research on the people that you have in your life that's the closest to you, right? Your friends, your colleagues that you hang out with, what have you. And find out where they were hurt, what age they were hurt. See how they're living their life. Are they drinking? Are they smoking? Are they cussing? You know what I mean? Are they stealing? You know? Okay. Are they very, very, very selfish? Okay. It's about me and nobody else, right? You need to do your research, because you will find that a lot of the people that you hang with have issues. Okay. And here you are thinking that because you have all of these successes in your life, that everything is good. But see, one of the things that you are missing is when it's time to be in a relationship and you missed the words, the gestures that gave you the clue as to what kind of heart this person had. And in many cases, people don't see the fact that a little, you know, snatching of the paper, okay, from you was a sign that there was a control issue. Okay? You didn't see that every time they call and you didn't pick up, they're asking you, why didn't you answer the phone? I called you like 4 times. You didn't answer the phone. What you doing? You need to pay attention to the clues. Okay? They're asking you, you know, you go over to the family house or you see a friend or what have you out and you spoke to them. Who is that? Who is that? Instead of waiting on you to tell them, oh, that's my cousin's friend, best friend. You know, they grew up together. You know, they don't wait on you to let them know who that is. No, no, no. Who was that? What you speaking to him for? What you speaking to her for? You see, that little small details, okay, will give you the clue that there's an issue, there's a control issue. And so if there's a control issue, there's a self-esteem issue. And if you say yes to this person in regards to being in a relationship with them, okay, and then you start giving your body, okay, right? Then next thing you know, you getting a slap, you getting a punch, you getting cussed out. You trying to figure out what happened. No, it happened on the front end. It happened before the first date. It already happened on the first date, okay? You got a chance to see the heart of this person, and you ignored it. You pushed it to the side. Oh, that's nothing. No, it is. It's something, right? It's something. And you cannot afford to dismiss anything. Because when you dismiss it, you lower your standards every time. You put up with this, you put up with that, you put up with the other. And now we're here and you're being abused. Okay? So I don't know how often men enter and exit relationships, okay? But I know that as far as women, you know, some women, not all women, jump from one relationship to the next relationship, to the next relationship, to the next relationship. And they got children watching them, okay? And you haven't even figured out what happened with the first one. What happened to end that relationship? It was going so well, so well, so well, right? And then all of a sudden, everything just went south, okay? You see what I'm saying? It's just chaos. You know? And you're just thankful to get out of a relationship because it was about to get, you know, physical. But then here you are in the next relationship and now it's physical. They're beating you. And you're trying to figure out how you got there. And thank God you got out. But then you go to the next one. And it's even worse. But it didn't start off like that. Okay? Start off real smooth, real good. You're happy. You get along. They like your children. All that good stuff. Okay? You end up moving in together. You let them move into your apartment. Okay? Because women tend to let the men just move on in. Why? Don't you know you're going to be taking care of him? You're going to be taking care of him. You feeding him. You washing his clothes. You probably running his bath water. Probably he wants you to wash his back and all that kind of stuff. You understand what I'm saying? You give him your body. You see? And now he got you. He know where you live. He know your routine. So if you end the relationship, he probably still got the key when you know, if you end the relationship. Okay? You see what I'm saying? So he has access. He has access to you. He has access to your children. And you still don't know why you went through what you went through. Okay? It all goes back to issues from your childhood. Do you understand me? Because if you have been hurt in your childhood and it wasn't resolved, you know, you didn't get a chance to tell anybody. And if you told somebody that somebody hurt you or something like that, nobody believed you. You see? And it's a hard thing as a child to be hurt and abused. And you go to the people who say they love you, your parents or grandparents, and you're telling them and they don't believe you. That's a hard thing. You see? I understand it. I was abused when I was a child, okay? I was abused when I was a teenager, okay? And coming out of that stuff, you know, is a hard thing. But you got to slow it down. You got to slow it down. Because when you are abused, And I told you that we're going to talk about, you know, the cycle. There's a cycle, okay? There's no one time hidden. No, when someone is bold enough to slap you around, knock you down, push you down, you understand, cuss you out in public, in private, it's going to continue. Don't be fooled by the little break. He said he won't hit me again. He said he apologized. He took me out to eat. He bought me some flowers, you know, and a bracelet. He even proposed to me. No, ma'am. That's a honeymoon phase, okay? You just entered the cycle of violence. So let me talk to you about the cycle of violence because, you know, we have got to get this thing right. The Lord does not want us being abused. Do you hear me? And used. But he is a gentleman. He's not going to force anyone to do what he said. Okay? It's your choice. Okay? He is there with his arms wide open when you come to him. But he's not going to force you to say no to the person that's hurting you. That's up to you. Because had you listened to him on the front end, you would not have fallen into the trap on the back end. You see what I'm saying? Okay? You would not have given your body because the Lord said, flee fornication. You got to run from fornication. You can't say, okay, well, we're going to meet up. You know, we're going to have dinner. Then we'll go back to his place. You know, we're going to watch some TV. What? No, ma'am. You look, go to the restaurant, eat the dinner, stand in the parking lot and talk. How about that? I either stay in the restaurant and talk. Don't get in the car. Okay? Now, I know some of y'all said, well, and nothing gonna happen in the car. Look, sweetheart, I have not known the Lord like I know the Lord all my days. He has been a part of my life, but I did not do what he said to do. And I know for a fact there's a back seat in a car. Okay? And I know for a fact that what can take place in the car. All right? So we're going to keep it real. Okay? We're going to keep it real. So you eat in the restaurant, you talk in the restaurant, and then you let that be. Okay? Because if you go back to his house and they put it on the TV, okay, and just happen to have a movie that you like, okay, then he'll sit closer, you sit closer. He put his arm around you, you just lean on in. You see what I'm saying? Next thing you know, you're kissing and all that kind of stuff. And next thing you know, okay? So the Lord said, flee fornication. You cannot entertain, you know, and think you're going to be strong enough to let that go. No, ma'am. You got to get up out of there. Okay? So the cycle of violence. You have attention beginning stage. You have the tension escalating stage. You have the violent incident. And then you have the honeymoon stage. Okay? And here's the thing about relationships. You're going to know if there's a little tug of war on who is going to be in control of this relationship, right? It should be where you are able to talk about things, you know, voice your opinion. If you like it, you like it. If you don't like it, you don't like it. Okay. But regardless, you're able to share how you feel about any given situation. And you don't have to you don't have to agree, you know, with this person that you're dating. You don't. You have your opinion. They have theirs. Okay. All right. But in a domestic violent situation, the man, and I'm talking to women now, the man is going to want to be in control of everything. And that includes your life and your children Do you understand me? Okay. So if they have that tendency, okay, that violent tendency, they really don't care about your kids. They don't. They're just doing what they need to do to get to you and break you and control you. Do you understand me? Okay. So you got a little argument going on. Okay. All right. And then the tension escalates because you still, if you're a victim, you still don't agree with what that person is saying. And they're getting to a point where they're getting tired of talking to you about the same thing. They've already told you how they felt about it. They're expecting you to carry it out. Okay. And told you what they want you to do, but you still trying to resist. Why? Because you're going over there to talk to mom about the situation. And then the mama's telling you, well, don't do this. Cause you know, you have a right to have your own opinion. And that is true. But with this man, he don't care about what your mama saying. He doesn't care about what your sister and your brothers are saying. He only cares about what he said. Okay. Because you invited the enemy's son into your house and into your life. Okay. So here we are. So then you have another incident because he's done with talking to you. And because now you want to repeat what mama said or your sister and brother told you, you know what I mean, in his face about the situation. And that right there is where he hits you or he kicks you or he pushes you or he gets in your face and he's got his finger in your face on your nose. You understand me? And he's telling you what he wants and how it's going to be. And if you say something else, he gonna knock you. You see what I'm saying? And he's probably cussing you out. Now you see the heart of the person that you invited into your life. You see what I'm saying? Because the words that are proceeding out of their mouths when they're talking about you, cussing you out, is coming from the heart. Because the Lord said, what proceeds out of the mouth comes from the heart. Do you understand? So he's telling you how he feels about you. He does not care about who hears him. Don't care about the children watching and knowing either. They better not say anything. Do you understand me? Because he'll take care of them too. Do you understand? And there's nothing that you physically can do at that moment. Do you hear me? And then once he has done his violent act, he comes back and he says, I'm sorry. You made me do this. If you had just, you know, closed your mouth and done what I asked you to do, see, I wouldn't even have to, you know, hit you like that. Okay? So don't make me do that like that. Do you see? The honeymoon phase. And then he comes with the flowers and everything like that. And then the cycle starts all over again. Because it may be 8 weeks. It may be 8 months. It may be a day. It may be a week. It doesn't matter. When you're dealing with a person who does not love you, I want to make it very clear. They do not love you. Do you understand me? They want to control you. And then here's the kicker. This person that just beat you serves in the church. There we go. There we go. They serve in the church. And they expect you to come to church with them and sit beside them or wherever they tell you to sit and look pretty with the children. And when they greet and other people, you better smile and act as if everything is all good in the neighborhood. Do you understand? Because if you do anything or say anything that's going to embarrass them, well, they'll deal with you. Probably in the parking lot, probably in the car, on the way home, whatever. But you're going to be dealt with. And you better get those kids in control. Are he going to deal with them too? This is what you invited in your house. I cannot make it pretty. It is not pretty. Okay? This is real. This is real. Do you understand me? And this is why I cannot and I will not let it go, because this is part of my purpose. You have to know the truth. You have to be able to recognize no good for no good. You understand? You know, because I've seen women go to the gas station. On their way out, they're giving some dude their number. For what? For what? You don't know them. You that desperate? Are you kidding me? You got to deal with that low self-esteem. You got to cry out to the Lord and ask him to heal those broken places. And just because you see celebrities doing it, going from one man to the next man to the next man to the next, I mean, oh, it's just ridiculous, okay? There's something wrong with that. You see? Giving their bodies away to every and anybody. And they got children watching them. Learning from them. Do you understand? That's why there's so much confusion with the babies, because the grown folks cannot get themselves together. Do you understand me? But that's because the reason the grown folks can't get it right is because the old folks showed them their behind. They did everything and anything in front of them. Do you understand? Without apology. Okay? And this is the fruit. This is the fruit. Do you understand? But somebody somewhere needs to get it right, and better get it right soon. And I'm talking about like now. Okay? Because hell is widening her mouth. Do you understand? It's not a game. It's not a game. Okay? You got to come out. And when you come out, through the grace of God, you got to stay right. Do you understand me? You have to be very particular about who you invite in your life. But you are sitting in the congregation, waiting on the preachers and the teachers and the pastors and all of these people to say something that will click in your brain, your mind, your heart, to say, hey, I want something different, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get it. You're going to ask the Lord to move this person out of your life. Okay? Give them a distraction. Get them out of my life. You're going to ask the Lord to forgive you for disobeying his word, his holy word. You see? You're going to ask the Lord to forgive you for doing things your way and dismissing his way. Do you understand? Because the person that you're with, if you hear stuff like, if I can't have you, nobody can. If you hear stuff like, I'll kill you. Mm-hmm. If you hear stuff like, keep it up, you'll be sorry. Uh-huh. If you see hand gestures showing like a weapon or firing a gun. Mm-hmm. Right? You also need to be listening for the fact that, you know, if they're bragging about what they did to you, sweetheart, they'll kill you. Do you hear me? And you need to get up out of there. That's why I say you need to ask the Lord to move them and give you the strength to let them go. Because if you're saying that you're staying because of the children, That means that you're also saying that it's okay for them to see you being abused and that that's the best for them. Do you understand what you're saying? Okay? They call those inferences. Look the word up. You understand me? You're inferring that it's okay for your children to watch their mother being abused. And that regardless of what's happening to you, being around their father is what is necessary. Even though he is the abuser. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. Mm-mm. I don't know who told you that. You better get up out of there. And you got to have the help of the Lord to do it. Okay? So I'm getting ready to pray. But before I pray, because when I pray, I warfare and I warfare for the victim to be released. You understand me? Okay? And before I warfare, I give the invitation to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because you need to be his child. Do you understand? So that he can fight for you. And the Lord said, you know, if you call on the name of Jesus, you're saved. Isn't that awesome? Because when you call on the name of Jesus, the enemy and those demonic spirits are waiting to see what else you're going to say. Do you understand? Because they want to know if you know whose you are and who you are in Christ. But if you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your Lord, Master, and Savior, then there's what else can you say? Because you don't know him. You don't have a relationship with him. And it's about relationship, sweetheart. And you need the Lord's help, right? So if you are ready and willing to pray the prayer of salvation so that you can have heaven on your side, the Most High God on your side, and that you're willing to do what he says to do when he says to do it, and that if your hearing is not on point, that he blocks anything that's going to cause you to do anything contrary to his holy word. You see what I'm saying? Okay? In Jesus' name. So repeat this prayer after me if you're ready to receive Jesus as your Lord, Master, and Savior. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I come boldly before your throne of grace, asking you to forgive me for all of my sins. I have not lived according to your holy word, and I ask you to forgive me now. I believe and I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he was virgin born. He died on the cross, and he's preparing a place just for me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Ghost. Make me a new creation. And if I die tonight, heaven will be my home, because I have received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed that prayer with me, and even if you didn't pray it when I prayed it that time, you can always go through the podcast to get to the prayer of salvation and pray it, right? So now I'm going to warfare on your behalf, okay? I'm going to hold up your arms to warfare, like Aaron and Hur held up Moses' arms so that they could be successful and victorious in the battle, because his arms were getting tired. And every time his arms came down, they were losing. But
But when his arms went up, the children of Israel were winning. And so I'm going to hold up your arms through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth and by the power of the Holy Ghost. And so I'm praying and I'm warfaring right now. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I give every victim of domestic violence unto you, Father, and their children right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I want you and I ask you to help them to hold on to your promises for their lives. Oh, hand of God, fight for them and revive their spiritual lives and destinies in the mighty name of Jesus. And every stubborn Pharaoh, Goliath, and Herod that has refused to remove their hands from their case, they shall perish by fire in the mighty name of Jesus. Bullets from heaven fall and hit the second heaven right now in the mighty name of Jesus on their behalf in the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I command every evil and wicked arrow fired into their lives, into their environments to backfire, go back to the senders in the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, deliver them from the hands of witchcraft household enemies by fire now, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against them in judgment, because they are doing what thus saith the Lord, it shall be condemned, in the mighty name of Jesus. Cover them, Father, in your blood. Soak them in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Holy Spirit, hold on to them, Father. Speak to their hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. Allow the victims to see what is actually happening in their lives. Let them know that that is not love. It is not love. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And so I terminate all of the enemy's evil plans for their lives right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. I nullify the calendar that the enemy has for their lives. Anything that he's planted in their bodies, their environments, to destroy them, to steal from them, to kill them. I bind it up right now in the mighty name of Jesus, and I drag it into the court of the Most High God for judgment in the mighty name of Jesus. I command an angelic slap to anyone bringing harm and destruction to their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. And I bind up backlash, sabotage, retaliation, setbacks, revenge, and delays, not only for them, but also for their families in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, open up doors of escape and have them focus like an eagle to get out. And anyone who is talking to them and trying to encourage them to stay in a domestic violence situation, every evil and wicked arrow that you're firing, I command it to backfire and go back to you. And so I mute you by the power and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in mighty name, I pray. Amen. And so, the Lord, again, does not want his children to be victims of domestic violence. And the church, those people who are preaching and teaching, will have to say something. They have to create classes or speak on this topic every 2 weeks, every month, whatever they need to do, because men need to learn how to love so that the wives will know how to submit. And submission is not bondage. Submission is not slavery. Submission is giving it unto the Lord. Anything that you would do to the Lord and for the Lord, this is what submission is, okay? So if we're praising the Lord and giving the Lord all of the compliments and thanksgiving, you understand, then the same thing should be done to a loving husband. And keyword, loving, not abusive. That's the way a marriage should be. So if you are a victim of domestic violence, okay, there is a hotline number that you can call and get resources. They are there to help you. It is confidential, okay? Men and women can call. Teenagers who are victims can call, okay? There's help and resources out there, all right? So we're taking care of spiritual things now, and the Lord is going to make sure that you get the physical help that you need, the emotional help that you need, okay? So that you can get the financial help that you need and get back in place, because the Lord has a plan and purpose for your life. Do you understand? Okay? And so the 1-800 number is 1-800-799-7233. Again, that's the National Domestic Violence Hotline. Everything is confidential. The number is 1-800-799-7233. All right. So I thank you for listening to the podcast, and I ask you to support the podcast. And there's a tab where you can support the podcast, monthly. And so you be led by the Holy Spirit. Okay. And of course your gifts, are greatly appreciated, because I am going, to continue to fight, for victims and their release. We want God's release for victims. Okay. You can also, purchase my book, God's Love Broke the Chains of Shame. It is available at Amazon. Okay. Again, that's God's Love Broke the Chains of Shame. You can get it on the Kindle as well as the paperback. And so just giving you a portion of my testimony, being released from sexual abuse. Okay. And the bondage of having an abortion at the age of 11. I was promoted to the seventh grade. And right before the seventh grade, I had an abortion. Okay. So that testimony, of course, is in the book. So please share the podcast, purchase the book, support the podcast. And again, I love you with the love of the Lord. Until next time. Bye-bye.